Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew. You're on 770 CHQR. You're listening to More Than Money. You know, the top of the hour, top of the show, we were talking a little bit about income, how to draw it, right? Yeah. How to figure out the answers to that sustainability question. We've just spent 20 minutes with Philip talking about what 2019 looks like. You know, and I'm not sure that facts can arrest fear. Okay, so I want to I want to tie these things together, Andrew, and get your thoughts on it, because you, and Sarah on your team, as part of our team, are really very heavily involved with clients figuring out how to make sure that they protect themselves, get the income that they need to support that lifestyle, and structure becomes very important. So if you think about 2019, and there's certain problems that we've seen creep up, and I think the next 2 months are going to be highly volatile. I don't think we're necessarily getting to a complete resolution on a U.S.-China trade deal, right? So as the headlines become a little more sour around that, you're seeing equity markets trade down. You know, we've got – I'll give you one good piece or one good takeaway is both sides of Brexit, like the guys that want to leave and the guys that want to stay, can at least agree on one thing now, that they're going to take it right to the last minute.
Oh, for sure.
Right? This is going down to the wire. And it is going to get more and more stressful over the course of the next 5 weeks as they're trying to figure out their positions. And we may, in fact, end up with a hard Brexit, right? We will have to wait and see. But it doesn't look like there's any softening on the European Union side. Theresa May's not being able to make any progress there. Labour Party opposition doesn't seem to want to play ball. I mean, that's just a mess.
Yes.
All right. So let's agree for at least the time being that that volatility is going back up, even given what... what Philip said, okay, there's a lot of fear. So how do you structure a portfolio? Like, what should you be thinking about if you're trying to go through these particular points in time and still just want to go and enjoy your life?
Well, and you have to really look at a whole bunch of different factors. Once again, I hate to use the accountant term, but it depends.
Yeah.
It depends on what you've got. It depends on what your lifestyle is. It depends on what your retirement vision is. And without those things, you can't structure these things out correctly.
But structure is important.
Oh, it's absolutely critical, because it's not the same anymore. And what I mean by that, and you and Faisal had this conversation before, so it's not a surprise to you, but you're creating your own paycheck now.
That's right.
This is no longer...
You're building a pension, right?
I'm going to go and work, and I'm going to put more money into it. Now it's the reverse. I'm drawing funds out on a regular basis to sustain my lifestyle. This is my new paycheck, and it's different. And so structure totally matters. So if you have that ability where you can, as we've done before, the income and the growth bucket, we're able to put a certain amount of time frame or dollars into an income bucket and sustain over a period of time, protecting against inflation, protecting against volatility within the market. So it allows the growth of a portfolio to move up and down, but eventually move higher.
But let's make this real, right? I mean, we're talking to real people, this week. And of course, the last quarter of last year was highly volatile. But think about this notion of an income bucket. If your income bucket is riddled with dividend paying stocks, as an example, well, you had a pretty scary ride in the fourth quarter of last year.
You still do the quarter of this year, because if you were in preferred shares, they came down significantly, and they're still down today.
Right. Now, what's interesting about that is your dividends may not have been cut, but you could see the capital value of your portfolio, that income bucket, fall, and that has an emotional effect on people. So what we talk about in these buckets over time, and we absolutely think this is the way to bulletproof yourself from these kinds of market crashes, is you need to have some very low risk assets in that income bucket. It's producing predictable and sustainable income. Your capital values aren't swinging around. You insulate yourself from the ups and downs of whatever happens in the short term on U.S.-China trade or Brexit or whatever the issue of the day might be, so that you don't have to worry about that piece of your portfolio. And what I'm saying is you could actually layer in things like GICs and cash. Right. So if you had 1 year, what we call a cash wedge in your portfolio that you were drawing down on income, it was in no way, shape or form at all affected by the volatility up or down that we've seen over the past 3 months.
That's right.
Nothing. There's no risk to it. Right. It's there. It's available for you to spend. That's what we're trying to get across to people is this bucket system that we talk about is a way to structure a portfolio properly, given the multiple objectives that you now have as you move into retirement. It's not just about growth over time anymore.
That's right.
Right? So structure becomes important. We like that income bucket from a stability and a protection point of view. Now,
well, and you can still have an income bucket. You know, we've looked at it many ways, and you know, on a 5 and 10 year, because it provides a little bit more certainty and insulation against the market. But let's say you don't have the ability to do that for whatever reason. There's nothing wrong with having a 1 or 2 year cash wedge, because you know, a 1 or 2 years worth of cash isn't going to hurt you over the long term. It's going to insulate you in the event that we're going to have volatility.
Right.
Oh. That's kind of what we're seeing right now. And, oh, we kind of expect that's going to continue moving forward. Volatility just disappeared for a while.
Right.
I would say it's back.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting is, again, we're not suggesting it has to be cash, but it has to be instruments that are low volatility. But this is different thinking. People have been trained their whole lives, have been accumulating wealth to try to get growth, right?
That's right.
And here's the point. Things are changing as you're moving into a point where you're going to retire and you're going to draw down on your savings. You need to change the investment strategies to reflect the new goals that you have. Now, growth is still important, though.
Oh, it's totally important. It never changes, because your lifestyle needs to be maintained.
Well, and there's inflation.
Yeah.
How long are people living now? You've alluded to that already in the show, right?
Well,
your planning horizons on average are what?
Well, now I'm looking 30 and 35 years. Like, if you retire at 60 and you live and you're married, or if you're married at 65, retired, chances are you're going to be going, one of you will go to age 95. There's a very high possibility of that at this point in time.
Yeah, the actuaries would say one in three chance.
Yeah.
So the planning horizons aren't kind of what our parents' generation was, right? Our parents retired, and their retirement wasn't nearly as long as what this generation is facing right now, and it may again be different as medical science extends life even longer into the future. But the planning horizons represent some serious problems from a planning perspective, right? Because if a portfolio has to sustain a lifestyle on an inflation-adjusted basis, right, for 35 years, even at low inflation rates,
you still have to grow.
Have to grow.
There's no way out of it. And if you're expecting to earn $60,000 for the course of your lifetime, well, the next year it's going to be 61 and change. And it's going to go up every year, because I'm sorry, last time I checked, gas still goes up in price when I go to the pump. Groceries still cost more every day.
Yep.
Everything costs a little bit more.
Everything costs a bit more. That's right. So the structure, though, those four buckets, I'm just trying to give you a sense of, if you have these multiple goals, why we think that bucket approach makes sense. It helps people separate the different kinds of assets they have and understand where they're going to get it from, because ultimately you get a ton of questions about, how do I draw this down in the most tax-efficient manner I can, knowing that your registered programs have a different tax treatment than your corporate assets, than your after-tax savings, right? Whether I've got interest income coming in from real estate or bond. I mean, all of these things have different
tax treatment. We always have to backtrack from what the original goal was and then go back from that. But if we don't know what those things are or even what the goal is, if the goal is only to get bigger, that's not really an answer.
Right.
And we have to move a little bit tighter into that. But just on another note, like, you know, what if you have part of your goal is estate, but another part is taking care of your children or making your grandchildren's educational needs? What do you do?
Right.
Like, are there options? Sure there are.
Right.
You have to actually look at these things carefully and say, this is part of my strategy or part of my goal?
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting conversation we had this week where there was a specific legacy wish. It was a living legacy, because they wanted to fund, they have 10 grandchildren, and they wanted to at least partially fund education for those 10 grandkids. So that is a separate and distinct strategy from their income bucket.
Absolutely.
Right? Separate from their growth bucket. Right? Separate from their health bucket. So these are all components. But when it's put together properly, you point to it and you say, great, there's the grandkids' education fund, right? There's my income bucket right there. It's doing what it needs to do. And then you start measuring or tracking just to make sure each of those pieces are doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, and if you do it correctly, Dave, you're going to have peace of mind.
Right.
And you're not going to be worried about whether the TSX went up 10% this year or whether the S&P 500 went up 15.
Right.
It's not important anymore. It's important to track my number, track my portfolio, but understand that I'm hitting my individual goals and I'm doing it successfully. And I can put a tick on that box and say, I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, for all of you listening that want to maximize returns every single year, based on whatever the best performing index is, you make sure you contact Andrew Masson on that comment. Anyways, throwing you under the bus there, buddy.
I'm going for it.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We've had a great show. Let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, that seminar is coming on February 19th, but unfortunately, it is fully booked. So our next seminar is on Tuesday, March 26th at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine Spirits Beer. And our 8:30 seminar is open for registration at this point in time. So if you'd like to get a seat, please give us a call at 403-966-8400. Once again, 403-966-8400. Or reach us on morethanmoneyradio.com.
And you can access any of our past segments also on morethanmoneyradio.com, or have them directly delivered to you. Search for our podcast on Apple Podcast Store, or your favorite podcast app. It's called More Than Money CHQR. More Than Money CHQR. You can get our Apple our podcast delivered to you every single week. Thanks for tuning into another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.